Dear Bruce, dear family, my Lord Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce has left us, but he is here with us today to be remembered by all of us who are gathered here. John Donne said long ago what is just as valid today: any man's death diminishes me because I'm involved in mankind, and therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. But bells are also messengers of hope. In that spirit, let us remember Bruce, for the person he was, for what he did. We who are here today have all seen different sides of Bruce: the family man, the musician, the expert on maritime policy, the experienced sailor, the driving force behind Maritime London, the competent chairman, and the possibly not quite so competent gardener, the sauna addict, and the finest friend anybody could have. When Bruce gave me a copy of the second edition of his fine book on international shipping, still, by the way, used as a textbook by the World Maritime University, he wrote on the front leaf to Eric Nordstrom, with whom the author has shared many of the events described and whose friendship extends over 30 years. That was in June 1995. I am proud of that dedication. If you add a further 11 years to the 30, that is where we were when my wife and I were invited to celebrate Bruce's 80th anniversary in the crypt of Guildhall. For us as foreigners, it was a great privilege both to be there and to see this splendid location. Bruce and I met in London in the very early 60s, two young lawyers from different cultures and accordingly from different cultures. Bruce, by the way, never quite believed me when I told him that I was a judge of the Court of Appeals at the age of 31. We have a different system in my country. We became friends, and it lasted all these years. We met at international gatherings all over the world, but also as families in London, in Sweden, and elsewhere. Our friendship was the French called rapproche. We never talked about it, but it was there all the time. I'm fairly certain that all of us here today, and as I said before, have different views of Bruce as a partner, as a person. I have seen him as a stern lawyer looking above his spectacles. I've heard him laugh helplessly in the sauna. I've witnessed a competent chairman controlling an international gathering on the point of running amok. Bruce is not one. He is many in our memory. May I give you, if you don't think it's flippant by a foreigner, two different episodes to try to illustrate what I mean. In the 60s and 70s, Bruce was the undisputed spokesman of free shipping. When the Japanese joined the Europeans against the US shipping policy, their Minister of Shipping invited all his colleagues to Tokyo. That was in 1973. It was a very serious affair indeed. The Japanese Shipowners Association had undertaken to arrange a luncheon for all their European colleagues before the official dinner offered by their minister in the evening. Many fax messages were exchanged between Tokyo and Bruce in London: what to eat, what cocktails to serve, and who was to sit next to whom. Just as Bruce was about to leave for Tokyo, another fax came: no drink yet chosen for the main course being meat. What do you propose? Bruce, all in a hurry, answered, a good red wine, Chateau Margaux. When all of us sat down in Tokyo to enjoy that splendid lunch, we had in front of us a beautifully printed menu. We opened it and found on the left-hand side, under beverages, under the white wine, in print, the word a good red wine Chateau Margaux. Such was his authority. And with every possible respect to our Japanese friends, I will now give you a different scenario. Bruce liked, as we all know, sailing, and he also liked the Scandinavian archipelago. The simple life there, including the lack of tides on our humble shores, Bruce spent some time on our lighthouse island. He was at ease there. Maybe some ancient relatives of his had been there before him, who knows? Once he was there in September, when you are allowed to catch lobsters again. We were three of us there at the time. There were no lighthouse keepers due to automation, so we were the only people on that island. Bruce was awaiting a hip operation, so he had to stay on the jetty when we went out to harvest the lobster pots, because the sea was rather rough. He asked me what he could do, and I told him, "Why don't you saw some wood for the sauna? We can have one when we come back." And so he did. When we returned a few hours later, we did not find only Bruce, but also two local fishermen who had come in their wooden boat for coffee and sandwiches. They looked at us in a most unfriendly manner and said that they were to report us to the local authorities. Bruce had told them, they said, that he was kept as a slave on the island to saw wood for the sauna for his Swedish masters. We gave them a few drams, Bruce confessed, and we all had sauna together, properly heated due to Bruce's efforts. When I think of Bruce at this moment, I remember him sitting on a barren rock on that very island, underneath the two lighthouse towers, looking across the waves coming in with the thunder from southwest. His eyes moist from a long day at sea, and maybe also of dreams. Today, I remember him as my friend, a sailor home from the sea. A friend is gone. We remain. Life goes on, but it will never be the same again.